The reality is, that means you have not listened to it or practiced it until right now.
Guess what? Guess what?
Rushing back, you know what I'm saying?
I understand.
Okay.
I agree. Amen. And I said it. I texted it. I said, tell me what key you want. And I can put it in.
Well, good morning, Ascend Church. We welcome you to stand with us. John's ready. All right. Louie's ready. All right. So we welcome you this morning. We thank you for joining us. Those at home, we welcome you. We welcome you to sing and worship with us. Come on.
Hallelujah.
So is anybody excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Come on. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We thank you, God, that you will show up and show out in this place. We give you praise. Come on.
You are good.
You are good.
You are good. We serve a God that still saves. We serve a God who still heals. We serve a God who still delivers. The same God back then is the same God we serve today. Let's worship him. Here we go.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opens up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giant. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Oh God.
Great is your faithfulness. If it wasn't for your love and kindness, we'd be consumed. But
you hear your children then. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power then. God moved in power.
You are.
Now, how I need you now. Oh, faithfulness, on your faithfulness, oh God.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now.
How I need you now. Oh Rock of Ages,
oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness.
On your faithfulness, yeah, never changing, ain't the same. You were, you are, and you are to come. You freed the captives, then you're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You touch the lepers, then I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same God. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River, come and fill me again.
Come and fill.
Come and fill me again.
One more time.
Come and fill me
this morning. Just turn every anxiety into gratefulness this morning and just show gratefulness.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs.
get up and praise the Lord. Come on and sing it out. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, so come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Grateful heart. You are worthy. He's worthy.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yeah, yeah. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all.
Him the glory that he deserves. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We honor you in this place, God. There's none like you in all the earth, none beside you in all of heaven. We
command our soul to give you glory. We command our soul to give you worship. We command our soul to give you honor. Yeah, yeah.
Worship. Isn't that beautiful? Just as we worship God, it brings us, we enter His gates with thanksgiving and we enter His courts with praise. Amen. And so now's the time in the service where we're going to pray over anyone who has any needs. If you need prayer for anything, we want to agree in faith with you. We believe that right in the presence of God is everything we need. Amen. If it's healing in your body, if it's you trusting God in some area of your life, we want to pray with you. So during this last worship song, if you need prayer, just step out of your seat, come forward. We have a prayer team that know how to pray, that pray heaven down and hell out the door, right? And so if you need prayer, just come on forward and we'll pray with you. If you're staying and you don't need prayer today, thank God that all is well. And let's worship God with this last song. Just forget about who's around you. Put your focus on Him. Amen. Welcome to those that are watching online. Right now, Father, I just pray for every need, every person watching, Father, where they've got a weight on their shoulders, a burden on their mind, where they're dealing with a sickness and a bad diagnosis, whatever it is that they're dealing with, I just take authority over every attack of the enemy over their life. And I set myself in agreement. We set ourselves in agreement in the name of Jesus, the power of God to go into every situation, into that home, into the life of that child, into that body, into that mind. Father, thank you for addictions falling away off of people's lives. We thank you for freedom and healing and strength. Let the peace of God just flood their hearts and minds right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're going to sing one more worship song. And if you need prayer, come on forward.
Lord, we worship you in this place. We bless your holy name. Church, I don't know if you could sense the change in the atmosphere when we raised our hands as we worshiped and we opened up our mouths and we sang to God and we worshiped him. I encourage you today to lift up your hands and lift up your voice and let's sing a song unto our King.
Christ will be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice of heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all.
Voice with heaven singing, worthy,
Says that he is enthroned on the praises of his people. You know, I love the fact we, you know, through the year we look at different aspects in the Bible, and you see we have Christmas and we talk about the birth of Christ, and we have Easter and we talk about the crucifixion, and every part is so important. But you know, the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ as he is today. And he's not on a cross. And he's not in a grave. And he's not a baby in a manger. But he's ruling and reigning at the highest seat in the heavenly realm. Amen. And we lift our highest praise to him. Praise God. That just fills me with so much joy to think he's won it all. He's done it all. When he rose from the dead, he said, it is finished, it is done, it is over, right? Everything that could possibly need to be done on your behalf has been done. The victory has been won. The Bible says in Romans, overwhelming victory is ours in Christ Jesus. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Overwhelming victory. Praise God. I'm glad to be in church. How about you? Won't you just turn and greet someone, tell them how good they look today, and you may be seated. Wonderful. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. To those watching online, welcome. We're so glad you've joined us today to be a part of an online church with us. I love being in the house of God. Didn't the worship team just lead us into the presence of God. Just so beautiful, right? You know why it is that that happens? It's because even though they are skilled musicians, they're not just playing a gig. They're actually worshiping God themselves. When they worship God, it leads us into worship. Amen? So welcome. We're so glad that you're here today. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? We love having visitors in our church. And so if you are here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you in any way. We'd just like to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? I don't see any hands. I see some faces I haven't seen in a while, but I don't see any hands. So we're glad that you're all here today. You know, the church is really important. The local church is really important. You know, Jesus said this. Jesus, when they said, how do we pray? He said, let me teach you how to pray. He said, pray our Father who art in heaven. And have you ever wondered why he didn't say, because if I'm going to be praying by myself, why would I pray our Father? I would pray my Father. But he was emphasizing the fact that we're a body and we're a family. It's our Father. So together we look, we're a body of Christ, right? You know, in the when Paul wrote the different letters to the church, he used the word our Savior 53 times, but he used the word my Savior only once. That means that he's emphasizing the unity, the community that we belong to. And you know, a lot of times now people, they want to belong to the universal church. They want to be Christians. They just don't want to belong to a local church. But there's really no expression of a community of faith until you're a part of a local church. It's a community of faith, amen? And so I want us to look upon that and think of that as a family and a community where we are contributing what God has put in each one of us, which is different, amen, to the whole of the body, right? Anyway, I'm not preaching today, so I better stop. He's like, I'm wrong. Just want to let you know there's various ways that you can watch. There are people that are watching on Facebook Live today. I love that it's live. I love that it's on demand after the fact. And go ahead, if you're watching Facebook or if you're here and you're on Facebook, share the live stream. And let somebody else be blessed by the message this morning. You can watch us on Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube. That's also on demand. You can watch on our mobile app. You can watch on our website, ascendchurch.us. And we're so glad that you've joined us today. I just want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God. Secondly, that you would find freedom. Thirdly, that you would discover your purpose. And lastly, that we would make a difference with our lives. Amen. Praise God. We're ready. Ready.
Did you do that thing? Praise the Lord. Good morning. It's good to see you. It's good to be in God's house, isn't that right? I just put that on Facebook. I shared the live stream of the service onto my Facebook page. And then I checked in. Glad to be in God's house. Nowhere I'd rather be. There's nowhere I'd rather be today. There is nothing to me that is anywhere near being in the house of God, in the presence of God, with the family of God, to hear the word of God. Amen. So I want to encourage you, like my wife said, you know, if you're on social media, on Facebook, like us on Facebook, like the post. When you see a post that we post, like the post, share the post, share the live stream. If you're on Instagram, follow us on Instagram. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that this is your house. And we honor you and we welcome you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here today, that you are the great comforter. You are the teacher. You are our guide. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you help me and you anoint me and You speak through me today. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm not trusting in myself. I thank you, Lord, that you touch every life. You touch every heart. That not one of us leaves here the same way that we came, but that our faith is increased, Father. That we are changed from glory unto glory. And we give you all the praise for everything said and for everything done in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much to our worship team. Did a wonderful job as normal. What a blessing. Today I want to speak to you about don't limit God. Tell your neighbor, don't limit God. How many of you know that our God is limitless? Amen. How many of you know there's nothing that is too difficult for the Lord? There is no need that He cannot meet. He can part the Red Sea. He can make the sun stand still. He can raise the dead. Amen. Thank you, Colin. Colin helped us out today. Dave's out of town. Give him a big hand, Colin. Thank you for helping us out today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you right now, there is no circumstance in your life that God cannot take care of. Not only can He, but He wants to. But do you know that you can limit God in your life? That's what the Bible says. In Psalm 78 and verse 19, it says, yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, He struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give us bread also? Can He provide meat for His people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came up against Israel because they did not believe in God nor trust in His salvation. Do you know that when you say, can God do this? It's actually speaking against God because He can do anything. The Passion, I love the way the Passion Bible translates this. It says, for they turned away from faith and they walked away in fear. They failed to trust in His power to help them when He was near. They turned away from faith and they walked away in fear. I've seen so many people do that. Just over the last couple of years, turn away from faith of believing and trusting God and walk in fear and live in fear and limit God. Look at verse 41 of Psalm 78. It says, again and again, they limited God. They limited God, preventing Him from blessing them. Do you know that we can prevent God from blessing us? He wants to bless us, but we can prevent God. We can limit God in our life. I mean, think about that. The God who is limitless, the all-powerful God, the creator of the universe, He can be limited in your life. You can limit Him in your life. How? By your thinking, by your believing, by the things you say. You can limit God in your life. And I want to help today. My purpose is that we would take the limits off of God and that we would stop limiting what He wants to do in our life. The dictionary defines the word limit. It means to confine within definite limits. It means to restrict in scope, extent, and or amount. It means to set bounds. You can restrict and you can confine what God wants to do in your life. A limiter is a device whose output is restricted to a certain range irrespective of the size of the input. Now, I remember back in the 80s, anyone that was alive in the 80s? back in the 80s in South Africa, there was a major shortage of gas. I guess it was around the world. And gas prices were crazy high. And it was like that in America. Remember those days they were lining up to get gas at the gas station? And so in South Africa, certain cars, I remember the gym that I went to, one of the guys had a Corvette Stingray. He had imported this Corvette from America. This is in South Africa. But they put a limiter on the engine that prevented that engine from going over a certain speed or expending a certain amount of power. The car was capable of, I don't know, what can a Corvette do, 150 mile an hour? But they, well, that's what I've had it up to. But they limited the output of the motor. Do you know, in the same way, that even though God is all powerful, you can limit him in your life? And many people don't realize that their own thinking and their own believing and their own words are limiting God from blessing them. When you say things like, well, Pastor Steve, I don't think my child is ever going to get on the right track and do what is right. I don't see how I'm ever going to get out of debt. I don't see how I'm ever going to get well and overcome this illness. I don't see how this problem could ever be solved. That kind of negative thinking will keep you right where you are. You've got to change your thinking before your life is going to change. This is where the Israelites, and that's what Psalm 78 is talking about, the Israelites, this is where they missed it, because God brought them out of slavery. I mean, he did miracle after miracle. He parted the Red Sea. I mean, he did all these miracles. But when they got into the wilderness, first thing they said was, can God provide for us in the wilderness? Can he furnish a table in the wilderness? Can he meet our needs? Can he take care of us? Can he protect us from our enemies? Can God do this? And it was that kind of wrong thinking and wrong speaking that kept them from going into the promised land. Listen, no matter what comes our way in life, we should never say, can God? Our attitude should be, our God can, and I know that he will. My child might not be doing what is right now, but I know my God can and will turn them around. My finances might be a little bit low right now, but I know my God can and will make a way. My health, I might be having some difficulties in my health, but I'm not worried, because God made my body and I know he can and he will restore my health unto me. Let's not be like the children of Israel and go around saying, can God? Let's be believers and say, God can and he will. If I asked you today, how many people believe God can do anything? I'm sure that probably all of us would raise our hands. But here's the real test. Are we at peace? Are we at rest? Are we positive, hopeful, expecting good things in our life? Because a lot of times we say that we're believing, but by our actions we show that we're not believing. Are you with me? We say one thing, but we act another way. And the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard, it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Do you know that the word of God doesn't really profit and benefit you unless you mix faith with God's word? And then it says, for we who have believed do enter that rest. You see, when you are believing God and when you're truly in faith, you are at peace. You are at rest. Anytime you're negative or worried or fearful, discouraged, that's a sure sign that you've gotten out of faith. Because when you're in faith and you trust in God, no matter what's going on around you, you've got peace on the inside of you. You're at rest. Are you with me this morning? Like I heard about this story I read about a man named Charles Blondin. Has anyone ever heard of Charles Blondin? No? Well, I've told the story before. You obviously don't remember it, so I'll tell you again because it's been a while. But Charles Blondin was the first man who walked on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. He was known as the Great Blondin, and he did it in 1859 in front of 100,000 people. The tightrope that was 1,100 feet long, and it was 150 feet above the raging waters of the Niagara Falls. And after he successfully crossed over, he said to the crowd, "Do you believe I can cross over blindfolded?" And they cheered, "Yes, we believe you can do it." And so he did. He blindfolded himself and he walked across the tightrope Niagara Falls blindfolded. Then he said, "Do you believe that I could cross over pushing a wheelbarrow?" And the crowd cheered, "Yes, we believe." And he pushed a wheelbarrow on the tightrope right across. And then he said, "Do you believe I could do this, push the wheelbarrow, walking on the tightrope with a person inside the wheelbarrow?" And they all cheered, "Yes, we believe you can do it." He said, "I'm so glad you believe in me. Who wants to get in the wheelbarrow?" You see, we find out what you really believe. Say, "I believe one thing," but your actions is what displays what you really believe. And can I tell you, faith demands action. I'm asking you today to get into God's wheelbarrow and to trust Him. You've seen Him do it in the past, and you know He's going to do it again in the future. I'm asking you to put your faith and trust in God. When we really believe that God is unlimited, and we really believe God loves us and He wants to take care of us, we will be at peace. We will be at rest. In Hebrews 4 verse 3, it says, only people who have faith enter into that place of rest. And the dictionary defines rest. The dictionary defines rest as to have peace of mind or to have freedom from worry and anxiety. So listen, if I'm worried, if I'm anxious, I'm not at rest. I'm not at peace. Therefore, I'm not in faith. When I'm in faith, I'm at peace. I'm at rest. I'm not worried. I'm not anxious. I know God's taking care of it. In Jesus' most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, and I think sometime I'm going to preach on the Sermon on the Mount. It's only found in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus' most famous sermon. And He said this in Matthew 6, verse 25. He said, truly, He said, this is why I tell you never to be worried about your life. Never be worried about your life. For all that you need will be provided. Say, I'm never worried about my life. Because everything I need will be provided. Jesus said, look at the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant, they don't reap, they don't store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they are? In verse 31, so then forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things that you need? So above all, constantly chase after God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from Him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow. Now let me tell you, worry will limit God in your life. I'll say it again. Worrying, anxiety, being fearful will limit what God can do in your life. So quit living your life worried, negative, discouraged. You've got to learn to turn those situations over to God and simply believe and trust Him. One time a man came to Jesus. His name was Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue. He's a very important man in the religious world. And he told Jesus that his little girl, who was 12 years old, was at home. She was terminally ill. She was at the point of death. But he said, Jesus, if you'll come and pray for her, if you'll come lay your hands on her, she will live. So Jesus said, let's go. And on his way to Jairus' house, Jesus was delayed by the woman who had the issue of blood. She heard about Jesus. She had an issue of blood. And she said, if I can just get to Jesus, I'll be healed. And she pressed through the crowd. She grabbed hold of Jesus' garment. The moment she did, the power of God went out of him, and she was instantly healed. And he turned around and he said, who touched me? And that kind of delayed him on his journey to Jairus, because right then some people came from Jairus' house and they said, listen, your daughter has already died. There's no point in Jesus coming to the house. It's too late. But I love what happened. In Mark chapter 5, look what happened, verse 36. It says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Only believe. Say only believe. Tell your neighbor, only believe. The Passion Bible says all you need to do is keep on believing. You see, I just got one job. I just got to believe. All I got to do, I don't have to figure out how it's going to happen. I don't have to figure out how God's going to do it. All I got to do is believe. I don't have to know how God's going to meet my need. I just got to believe my God supplies all of my needs. Only believe. So Jesus went to Jairus' house, and you know what happened? He raised his little girl from the dead. But I can tell you now, Jairus' faith had something to do with it. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Just a few verses later, in Mark chapter 6, when Jesus went to his hometown where he grew up, his hometown was Nazareth, the Bible says that he couldn't do any mighty miracles there because they wouldn't believe who he was. In Mark chapter 6, verse 5, now he could do no mighty work there. Or you could say he could not do any mighty work there except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. The Bible says in his hometown, Jesus, he didn't do any major miracles. In fact, some translations say he laid hands on people that had minor diseases. No major miracles. Why? Why could Jesus not do mighty miracles in Nazareth? Because of their unbelief. Can I tell you, unbelief will limit what God can do in your life. Unbelief will limit God in your life. They limited Jesus by their thinking, by their believing. Today, there are still people who limit God by their thinking. There are people who believe that God doesn't do miracles today. God, no, miracles don't happen today. God doesn't heal people today. But the Bible says he's the same healer today as he was then. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus still heals today. I have seen thousands of people be healed by Jesus with my own eyes. I'm thinking about Angela. Angela went to visit her, had her annual doctor's visit, and he found a growth on her uterus. And he decided that she needed surgery to remove it. He did a biopsy to see if the growth was cancerous. She believed that God was limitless. And so when she came to church, she came forward to prayer, when we have prayer. And my daughter Nadine prayed for Angela. When she went in to have the surgery, when she woke up, the doctor said he couldn't perform the surgery because something was blocking the entrance to her uterus, and he referred her to an oncologist. Am I saying it right? An oncologist. And that's someone who specializes in that field. And the oncologist ran more tests and ultrasounds, and he couldn't find the growth. The growth had disappeared. Now there's Dolores. Dolores started having blackouts in her vision. Started out with just a few seconds. And then eventually it was 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute. And the longest time I think she blacked out was 30 minutes. 35 minutes blacked out. So she went to the doctor. You couldn't see anything for 35 minutes. So she went to the doctor, and they said that she had an aneurysm on her brain. And they wanted to do surgery like as soon as possible. So they booked in for surgery. Well, that night, it just so happened that we were starting Bible college. And so Dolores wasn't planning on coming, but she just felt the Lord telling her to come. And she came that evening, and I got all this Bible students. She told us what happened, and we all prayed over her. The next day, she was going to have the surgery. And when she woke, she went into the surgery. When she woke up, they said, we couldn't do the surgery. We couldn't find the aneurysm. It was gone. She never had it. It pays to serve God. And our God is limitless, right? So I just want to tell you, man, I've seen God do miracles. He's still a miracle worker today. Let's take the limits off of God. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. You know, I'm on a tight budget. I don't see how I'm going to make it, man, with these gas prices and these food prices and this inflation. You need to remember who your God is. He's the all-powerful creator of the universe. He is not having a down year, let me tell you, because of the economy. God's not up in heaven saying, oh, man, This gas price really messing with me. I don't know how I'm going to take care of my people. No, how many of you know that God is in control? There is nothing that is too difficult for him. The scripture says in Jeremiah 32, behold, I am the Lord. I am the God of all Israel. Is there anything too hard for me? How many of you know the answer to that question? No, there is nothing too hard for God. So let's not limit him. Let's not limit God. Let's believe him. Amen. In Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, everything, all things are possible. I'm asking you today to be a believer. You may have big problems, but thank God we have a big God. Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 26, he said, with men, this is impossible. But all with God, all things are possible. You see, what you're facing, it may be impossible for you. It may be impossible for the doctor. It may be impossible for men. But all things are possible with God. Say, I'm with God. And because I'm with God, all things are possible for me. Say, I am a believer. And I take off the limits from God in my life. You see, your enemies may be powerful, but our God is all powerful. You've got to remember who you are. You are a child of the Most High God. You've got the DNA of a champion inside of you. God didn't create you to be average or just barely get by and drag through life all depressed and negative. No, he put seeds of greatness on the inside of you. He filled you with his can-do power, and you are well able to do whatever God has called you to do. You need to put your shoulders back and hold your head up high and start thinking like a victor. You are a victor. You are not a victim. See, a victor knows that adversity is not permanent. It didn't come to stay. This came to pass. So don't dare sit around thinking, well, this is never going to get better. I don't see how I'm ever going to be able to accomplish that dream. No, you've got the greatest power in all of the universe down on the inside of you. And we should have the attitude, I am a can-do person. There's nothing in my life that I cannot overcome. It's just a matter of time before this turns around. I know if God is for me, what can stand against me? Amen. That's what Paul said. In Philippians 4, verse 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 John 4, verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and you've overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Say, he who's in me is much greater than he that is in the world. In Romans 8:37, it says, yet in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all, for God made us to be more than conquerors. Say, God made me to be more than a conqueror. Say, I am more than a conqueror. See, that's what God says about you. You can do all things through Christ. Greater is he who is in you. You are more than a conqueror. If we get our thinking in line with God's thinking, then our best days are not behind us. Our best days are in front of us. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God is able to do abundantly above and beyond what you can think, what you can ask, what you can even imagine. He is limitless. Amen. And he wants to do more than what we can even dream. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, no one has ever heard, and no one has ever seen, and no one has ever even imagined what wonderful things God has ready for those who love the Lord. The Bible says no one has even imagined the things that God wants to do for us. God can do more than you can imagine, but it's according to how we believe. I love what God told Moses when the people were complaining, and they're out in the wilderness, and you know, they were tired of manna. Manna is a kind of a bread. A manna would fall down from the sky. They were tired of manna. They wanted some meat. And God said to Moses, said that, you know, the people want meat. And God said, no problem. I'm going to tell them, I'm going to give them meat for the next 30 days. All they're going to have is meat. And Moses was kind of shocked. And he said, Lord, what do you mean? How are we going to feed? How are we going to get meat for all these people? We got 600,000 foot soldiers, just the foot soldiers. Even if we butchered all of our flocks, even if we caught all the fish in the sea, we wouldn't have enough meat. And I love what God asked Moses this question. In Numbers 11, verse 23, the Lord said to Moses, when did I become weak? Moses, let me know. When did I lose my power? When did I become weak? That's what you were saying, Moses. Did I somehow lose my power? Don't you remember I spoke the world into existence? Don't you remember that I'm Jehovah Jireh? I'm the Lord, the one who provides. Did you forget my name? My name is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, the all-sufficient one. And the Bible says in verse 31, the Lord sent a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall into the camp and all around the camp as far as you could walk in a day in any direction. There were quail flying 3 or 4 feet above the ground. So the people caught and killed quail that day and all through the night and the next day too. The least anyone gathered was 100 bushels. Quail was spread out all around the camp. Listen, we got to keep it in perspective, man. Our God created it all. When he said, let there be light, light came at 186,000 miles per second and is still traveling. It's still going. Remember when God spoke to Moses from a burning bush and he told him to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses doubted if he could do it. He said, they're not going to listen to me. What am I going to say when they ask me who sent you? Lord, what is your name? And when he asked God his name, what did God say? I am that I am. You know what God was saying? I am anything you need. I am your healer. I am your strength. I am your wisdom. I am your provider. I am your protector. I am your deliverer. I am that I am. Whatever you need, that's what I am. See, in our natural mind, we want to try to figure everything out, man. But that's not our job. Our job is to just believe, to stay in an attitude of faith, and to just trust God. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I want to stir your faith. I'm trying to stir your faith today. Because You know, you've got to quit sitting around thinking about what you can't do and start thinking about what God can do. Some of you are stuck in that old rut where all you can see is more of the same, more disappointment, more struggle. But you got to get rid of that limited mindset. I found you'll never rise higher in any area of your life until you first make room for it in your thinking. You got to see yourself as an overcomer. You got to see yourself accomplishing your dreams. You got to start seeing yourself overcoming that obstacle. You got to see yourself, man, paying your house off. You got to see yourself healed. You got to, God has a big plan for your life. The Bible says He wants to do abundantly above what you can ask or even think, man. He wants to take you places that you never dreamed before. But you got to get in agreement with Him and you got to believe Him. Because let me tell you, small thinking will limit God in your life. I said small thinking will limit God in your life. I love what the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 54 said this. He said, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Now, if you wonder what that means, let me read it from the Message Bible. It's kind of in today's language. It says, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. God is talking about extending in your mind, about making room for increase. He's talking about thinking big, man. Make room for it in your thinking. You got to think bigger. Tell your neighbor, think bigger. Tell him, you're not thinking big enough. Think bigger. You got to get up every day, man, expecting to rise higher. Start expecting things to change in your favor. Because if we don't do the enlarging and we don't do the stretching, it's not going to happen. You got to make room for this in your thinking. Amen, somebody. Let me tell you, some of you, what you're earning right now, God wants to double it. Some of you, God wants to quadruple it. Some of you, God wants to give you 10 times what you're making right now. You've got to make room for it here now and not limit God in your thinking. The first place that we got to make room is in our own thinking. You may say, well, Pastor Steve, what happens if I believe and nothing happens? Well, what if you believe and something does happen? I mean, even if it didn't happen on your timetable or the exact way that you would like it to happen, let me tell you, you'd still be better off to live your life with a positive attitude of faith and being hopeful than to drag around depressed and defeated. I can tell you, it's not going to happen in that frame of mind. You may say, Pastor Steve, I've got so many obstacles in my path. That's why I'm a bit down. I'm a bit discouraged today, Pastor Steve. I've got some things that I'm facing, and I'm discouraged. Let me help you to have a new perspective. When God told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his people go, God told Moses, now listen, don't get upset, Moses. He's not going to cooperate. He's going to say no. Go ask him, but he's going to say no. God already knew what the answer was going to be. You know what that tells me? My God is in control of my enemies. And as long as I am believing God, I'm in a controlled environment. I'm in a protected environment. My enemies are not in control. God already knows what they're going to do. If I'll just keep believing and trusting God, at the right time, He's going to turn things in my favor. That's why, listen, no matter what you face, that's why you don't have to live worried. That really is a sign of your faith in God. Because even when it seems like hell's broken loose around you, you're not worried about it. You're not anxious about it. God takes care of the birds of the air. How much more valuable am I to Him? We don't have to get upset, lose our joy if things are not happening as fast as we would like them to, if someone's telling us no. God is our protector. God is guiding us. He's in control of our lives. He's even in control of our enemies. We like that. Have you ever heard of the Moses soul fish? There's a fish out in the Red Sea. It's called the Moses soul fish. It's a fish. It kind of looks like this. It can disguise itself to look like the sand. It could be laying on the sand and you couldn't even see it there. It's a small flounder found in the Red Sea. But it has a unique protection system. There are some large sharks in those waters, and usually they'd eat this type of fish, but they can't, because back in the early 70s, researchers, they discovered that whenever this little fish senses danger, it releases these poisonous toxins from its glands, and those toxins cause a shark's jaw to freeze. So there's actually pictures of a shark with a Moses soulfish in its mouth, and it can't bite down. It's like frozen. All the shark has to do is bite down, but it can't, because God put something on that little fish that would protect it from a predator like a shark. So when that little Moses soulfish is in the shark's mouth, can I tell you, he's not panicking. He's not running and calling 911. His blood pressure doesn't go up. He doesn't get all depressed and say, just my luck, I knew this was going to happen to me. No, he knows that there's something special about him. He knows that God ordained before the foundation of the world. God already ordained that he would be protected from that enemy. So he just rests in who God made him to be, and he just keeps pressing forward and enjoying his life. And if you and I could ever get the revelation that we are children of the Most High God, and God didn't just give you a unique protection system, he breathed his very life into you, and he crowned you with glory and honor, and he gave his angels charge concerning you. Everywhere you go, there are mighty warriors, angel warriors that protect you. Amen. Sometimes, let me tell you, it seems like that little fish has got more faith than what we do. Because we get into situations and we start getting afraid. Well, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I got a bad report from the doctor, Pastor Steve. Oh, they're talking about laying people off at my company. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen, man. God's going to take care of you. You've got something much greater in you than that little fish. The scripture says in Isaiah 42:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 15, verse 47, no weapon turned against you will succeed. No weapon turned against you will succeed. Fear not, I am with you. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Say, God's for me. What can be against me? Amen. Say, no weapon turned against me will succeed. You see, God put something in us that causes us to rise to the top. He said, we are more than conquerors. What the enemy meant for your harm, God will turn around and use to your advantage. Why don't you just start trusting him when those negative, discouraging thoughts come to your mind? And let me tell you, they come to us all. Oh, it's not going to happen for you. You're never going to rise higher. You're never going to get married. You're never going to get well. You're never going to prosper. You're never going to be successful. Do you know how to release those protective toxins in your life like that Moses soulfish to stop the enemy? You got to speak out the word of God. No, I'm more than a conqueror. God's plans for me are for good, not evil. No weapon formed against me will ever succeed. When someone says, I heard you're not feeling well. Yes, but God's restoring health to me. I heard your company's laying off people. Yes, but when one door closes, God opens another door for me. I'm not worried about it. If you'll stay in an attitude of faith, God promises. Let me tell you, if you'll just speak words of victory and faith, then like that shark, the enemy cannot harm you. Why don't you just dare to believe him today? Take the limits off of God. He is a supernatural God, and he is unlimited. He's a God of miracles. Psalm 77, verse 11 says, you are the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power. Can I tell you, God still demonstrates his awesome power. Can I tell you, God is a God of miracles, and he loves to demonstrate his awesome power. Can you say amen? He can do what men cannot do. Amen. And when we believe, let me tell you, that's when all things are possible. Take the limits off of God today. Quit trying to figure everything out. Don't limit God with your own thinking. Well, I just don't see how this could ever happen. Well, you don't have to see how it can happen because God's way bigger than you. Don't limit him with unbelief. Don't limit him with worry and fear. Just believe him. Let me tell you another way we really limit God is with our words. We spoke of last Sunday. If you missed last Sunday, go back and watch last Sunday's message. I spoke on keep speaking victory. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 6 verse 2 that we are trapped by our own words. We limit God very often by our words. You see, if you say, well, I just don't see how this ever going to happen for me, you just limited God. I never get any good breaks, Pastor Steve. You just limited God. You're right. It's not going to happen for you. Because what I'm talking about, this is for believers. You've got to get out of that negative mindset. Because God really cannot do more for us than what our words allow him to. That's what stopped the Israelites from inheriting that promised land. It was because of what they said. God told them, I've given you the promised land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. All you got to do is go and possess it. Oh, by the way, I'm with you. You know the one who's just part of the Red Sea? You would think they'd be like, man, no problem. But they sent the spies to spy out the land, 12 spies. 10 of the spies said, man, it's an amazing land. But we can't do it. We can't take the land. The people are too strong. There's giants in the land. There's no way we can do it. The other two spies, Joshua, Caleb, they said, man, we can do it. Let's go right now. Let's go at once. Let's go take the land. The Lord is with us. They can't stand against us. But the people agreed with the 10 spies. It's amazing how it's easier to agree with something negative than it is something positive. They started complaining. They started moaning. Oh, God, why'd you bring us out here to the wilderness? It was better in Egypt. We should have stayed in Egypt. We're going to die in the wilderness. We're going to become victims in the wilderness. What did God say to them? Numbers 14, 28. Tell them this. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. That's why I'm careful what I say. Because you're going to eat the fruit of your words. I don't want to say anything that I don't want in my life. If I don't want it, I don't say it. Because their negative words limited God. They didn't take the land. They wandered around that wilderness for 40 years. And they died there just like they said they would. However, Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, they did take the promised land. They had to wait 40 years. But 40 years later, Caleb was 80. He was at the front of the army going in to take Joshua. I mean, he was right at the front. Because your words can limit God. Or your words can allow God to do miracles in your life. Don't limit God by your words. Don't limit God by small thinking. Don't limit God by having unbelief. Don't limit God by worrying. Your life will not change until your thinking changes and your words change. I encourage you, say what God says. Because God does what he says. He does it for those who believe him. Get up every day expecting good things. Every morning before you leave the house. Lord, I thank you. If you are for me, what can be against me? I thank you, Lord. No weapon formed against me can ever succeed. I thank you, Lord, something good's going to happen to me today. This is the day the Lord has made. And I believe, Lord, your blessings are chasing me down today. Your blessings are overtaking me, Lord. I'm expecting good things. Go out in that attitude of faith. Take the limits off of God in your life. We serve a supernatural God. There is nothing, whatever you may be facing, there is nothing too hard for him. He parted the Red Sea. He rained down manna and meat in the desert. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jesus fed 5,000 men with a little boy's lunch. God made the sun stand still for Joshua. God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego from a burning fiery furnace. God protected Daniel in the lion's den. What's your circumstance today? Where are you at today? What report have you received today? Are you discouraged? Are you despondent? Are you downcast? Does it look like men, no one can help you? Does it look like there's no help? Wherever you look, well, listen, you know where you need to look? You need to look to God. You need to look to Him, because there's nothing's too hard for Him. David faced a lot of difficulty. He faced a lot of discouragement in his life. What did David do? David said this in Psalm 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. The Living Bible says it like this. O my soul, don't be discouraged. Don't be upset. Expect God to act. Expect God. Soul, don't be discouraged. Expect God to act. For I know that I shall have plenty of reasons to praise Him for all that He will do. He's my help and He's my God. Psalm 34 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord delivers him out of them all. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond what you can ask, think, imagine. Don't limit Him. Don't limit Him with doubt. Don't limit Him with unbelief. Don't limit Him with your words. Don't limit Him with your thinking. Don't limit Him with worrying. Amen. Say, I thank you, Lord, that all things are possible for you. I thank you, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. You are able to get me out of the situation. You are able to give me the victory. You are my provider. You are my helper. Come on, you are my defender. You are my protector. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. I will not limit you, Lord. I put my trust in you. Say, I'm not worried. I am not worried. I am not anxious. Say, I know no weapon turned against me can ever succeed. I know that God is for me. What can be against me? I am expecting God to do miracles in my life and demonstrate His power. I am living at peace and I am living at rest because I know that my God is with me. He is for me. There's nothing too hard for Him. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor again. One more time. Tell them, don't limit God. Doesn't matter what you're facing. He can turn it around. Can do miracles. Can deliver you. Can provide for you. Let me tell you, I'm not just believing God anymore to pay the mortgage on this building. I am believing God for $3 million to pay off the mortgage on this building. That's what I'm believing God for. I used to be praying every month to make the mortgage payment. I'm not praying for that. I'm saying, Lord, I thank you that all things are possible for you, that this is an easy thing for you, that you own the earth and the fullness belong to you. I thank you, Lord, for making a way that we are debt-free, that we own this building and we pay off the mortgage in the name of Jesus. That's what I'm believing, God. And I ask you to join with me and believe with me. Believe with me for that. Will you do that? You say, how is it going to happen? I've got no idea. No idea how it's going to happen. But I know all things are possible to him who believes. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Huh? Yeah, come on. Someone needs to do it. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were in church today. Did you hand everyone an invite card? Did everyone get an invite card? Hold on to that. Praise the Lord. You know one way that we limit God? We need a microphone for Pastor Joel. There's one right next to you. Is this one working?
Man, my faith is built up. How about yours? There's nothing like the Word of God. That the Bible says that's where faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. Amen. And I was just encouraged. I'm sure that you, your faith is, when it comes to it's offering time, and I'm sure that your faith has been built up a lot in this area. And so I won't take long, but I was encouraged because the scripture that I wanted to read today really ties in with this, because I think that sometimes, you know, we do believe that God is our provider, but we limit him by our just enough mentality. If I could have just enough to get by and meet these needs, that would be okay for me. But I just want to take the lid off of that. Just like you read about expand your territory, you know, stretch out your tents. God wants us to think bigger than that, bigger than just enough. So as you prepare yourself to give, I'm going to read a scripture. Those that are watching online, there's various ways that you can give. You can give at ascendchurch.us. You can give all of the different ways, text giving, Cash App, PayPal. Go ahead and do that. And I'm going to read from Galatians 3, verse 13. The Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. So we've got to understand a little bit about what was in the curse and what's in the blessing. And so the curse was threefold. The curse was spiritual death, that's separation from God. It was sickness and disease, and it was poverty. That's what the curse of the law was. And then the blessing is also threefold. It is spiritual life, it is divine health, and it is prosperity. That is what's included in the Word of God. People say, yeah, I don't want to talk about money in church. God talks about money. God talks about prosperity. That is part of the blessing of Abraham. Amen? And so I don't want to have a just enough mentality. I want to think like God thinks. I want to think more than enough, right? And so all of the blessings, there's many blessings and are in Deuteronomy 28, and I'm not going to read them all. You can go home and read it. But I want to just read you a few verses because this will give you the mind of God on this situation, and I hope it will expand our expectation of what God can do, right? He says, blessed, this is the blessing of Abraham that Jesus died to bring us, right? Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground. Think about yourself. Think about your life. Blessed and the fruit of your beasts and the increase of your cattle and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Blessed shall you be when you come in. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord gives you. Think about yourself. Think about this is a blessing for you. And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity. So the Lord's giving me a surplus of prosperity.